Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is your host, Jake Cowden, joined, as always, by Matt. Matt, what's going on?
Not a whole lot over here. I saw you went to a hockey game in Arizona.
I went to a hockey game, my first hockey game. They have hockey in Arizona.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It was fun, you know. We went because the San Jose Sharks were playing. Our dad is from the Bay Area, so when I say the Sharks are my favorite team, I know one player for the Sharks and maybe three other hockey players in the whole league. So yeah. I don't know anything or anything, but it was super fun. It's like really cool. We got good seats, so we saw a couple fights. The Sharks won 5-3. It is freezing in the arena.
Yeah. How cool do you think it is?
I don't know. It's like 50-something, like, because I was wearing a hoodie and jeans, and I was pretty cold.
You were cold because it was 50?
Oh, yeah, it's freezing here right now in Arizona. Like, it didn't get above, like, 65 the other day, and I was, like, losing my mind.
What temperature do you think it is in Salt Lake?
It's, like, 30-something, probably, right?
Yeah, right now it's 33 degrees. Earlier today, it must have been, like, 50-something, because it was quite warm, you know?
Yeah, it's 55 in Scottsdale right now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, you're so... Like, that Arizona weather has just totally ruined you. I'm super excited for you to come up for Christmas.
No, excited. Yeah, we'll be at Christmas in Utah for like 10 days. So we'll have a couple live episodes, which will be nice. Because this is pretty much the only time we talk during the week.
I know, right? Yeah, so that'll be good. We might have to do some bonus episodes just because we're going to have so much time on our hands.
Yeah, because I want to interview our golf analyst, Kyle Copier, who hasn't actually come on the show yet. We might have to get him on.
That's good. Oh, yeah, and I was talking to... Aiden, our jazz correspondent, and he was saying he wants to come on again, so I think we're gonna do that probably soon as well.
Get some good guests going for sure. So I'll be in Utah, I'm gonna freeze them about it, but a hockey game was really fun. I learned a couple other players' names. Clayton Keller is a hockey player.
Okay.
I guess I learned one other player's name.
That's good for him, you know?
Yeah. So now that our hockey's over, we're going to talk about mostly NBA today, some NBA's drama. We're going to finish with NFL, but we're going to talk for like 2 minutes about some soccer and also the Heisman Trophy. Kyler Murray ended up winning that. So we're going to talk about MLS Cup, which Atlanta won. They beat Portland, who I picked to win, but I was closer than you, I think.
You were closer than me. I had... Seattle and DC United. DC United, I don't think DC United got out of the first round, actually.
Yeah, they lost to Columbus.
And then Seattle lost to Portland, although Portland was, if I didn't pick Seattle, I was probably going to pick Portland. But yeah, man, Atlanta, though, they came to play, and I mean, looking at, you know, everything they did in their season, everything Yosef Martinez did, you know, that might be the best team in the history of Major League Soccer.
That is a bold statement.
Yeah. Did you happen to see that picture that Yosef Martinez put up on Instagram or Twitter or something? But anyway, he had the supporter shield, the MLS Cup, he had the golden boot, he had the and he had the MLS MVP trophy. So he just had all of the trophies that he could have possibly won. He won.
That's sick.
Yeah, man. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with Atlanta United this next season because, you know, Tata Martino, their coach, is gone. He's going to go coach Mexico. Jake, maybe fact check me on that real quick.
No, that's right.
Huh?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would expect Yosef Martinez, I mean, it would be crazy to me if some European club didn't buy him. And for the amount that they'd pay for him, Atlanta would probably be dumb not to sell him. Almiron might leave. You know, I would expect that there's going to be a huge amount of people leaving. So I'm really curious to see what Arthur Blank does to kind of replace those pieces.
Yeah, I am too. In international soccer, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Copa Libertadores and River Plate beat Boca Juniors 5-3 in aggregate. So without a home game, they won that championship.
Which is, oh, that's funny. I think the Well, that's funny because River, those were the fans that threw the stuff, right? Because yeah, they attacked the Boca Bus.
Home game because their fans blew it for them.
Yeah, which is funny. That's crazy. I bet the players, you know, I mean, obviously that's not a situation that you want to happen. But then, you know, you go get to play in Spain in this, you know, probably the nicest stadium they've ever played in. You know, I'm sure that I know that those two stadiums in Buenos Aires are really nice, but that's one of the best, probably three stadiums in the world for soccer, you know, so they were probably pretty stoked.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So a lot of stuff went down in soccer. Yeah,
I've got two more soccer things real quick, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Yeah. So the draw for the Women's World Cup in France happened this last week. The U.S. got put in a group with Sweden, Thailand, and Chile, which is significant for a couple of reasons. Sweden, their coach was the previous coach of the U.S. women's national team, and they also knocked the U.S. out of the Olympics. So that's going to be an exciting matchup. And then Chile, you know, we always cheer for, so I'm excited to see that match. I'd like to see them get out of that group. And then the expansion draft for MLS is tomorrow, and RSL always seems to lose one of my favorite players in these. So I'm going to be watching that real close. Cincinnati's coming into the league, so they get to pick five players. We've protected, you know, somewhere from, you know, 10 to 15, and then there's some homegrown players protected, but, you know, Luke Mulholland is not protected. Jordan Allen is not protected. Tony Beltran is not protected. So I think there's a decent chance that we lose one of those guys.
Well, that would really bum me out.
Yeah. Probably not Jordan Allen because he's been injured for so long. But, you know, I could see them, you know, wanting to take a swing at Tony Beltran or Luke Mulholland.
Yeah, seriously. So hopefully not, but we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next week for sure, because Cincinnati, you know, their fan base is probably one of the most passionate fan bases in all of U.S. soccer, and they've just been playing in this lower division. So to see them come up to MLS, that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and another exciting news if we're done with soccer.
Yep.
Kyler Murray won the Heisman, which – I thought he should have won. I thought Tua Tagovailoa was going to win, but Kyler should have won, and he did. But Tua won, like, it was the closest, it was the most votes without winning in history of the Heisman.
That is interesting. That's a bummer, but hey, you know, and I mean, that's kind of what we talked about, is just that it was so close that, you know, with either of those guys, you know, it would have been okay. So it's good. Like, I like when the votes reflect what's actually the situation of what's happening, which I think this did.
Yeah, and one other thing that is confusing is there were 855 voters that had Tua on their ballot, and only 855 had Kyler. Only 842 people had Tua. I don't know how you don't have Tua somewhere, like, in the top three. Like, I get having him – there's an argument that he's third. There's an argument that he's first. Like, I just don't get having him not on the top three, though, is what I'm confused by.
Yeah, no, that's pretty ridiculous to me. Because, I mean, he was just a favorite for so long, and he didn't really do anything to lose it. Like, he had one, you know, sort of bad game against Georgia, but it was a game – that they ended up winning. I know he wasn't playing, but yeah, that's weird. That seems really weird to me.
Yeah. So the Heisman, I feel like I should get a vote, and I should be the only vote, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly seem to agree with your opinions.
Yeah. And the thing, I was like, some people voted, there were about 10 or 12% of the voters voted before the championship week. That shouldn't even be an option.
Yeah, no, you should be disqualified for that. Like, it should be an option so they know not to let you do it next year.
Yeah.
And then they just don't count your vote.
Yeah, seriously. So, that was dumb, but Kyler Murray won. He's going to probably go play professional baseball because he's a first-round pick by the Oakland Athletics. So, Oklahoma became the first school to have back-to-back Heisman-winning quarterbacks.
That's cool. I don't know that I've heard some rumblings that he would consider playing football if somebody thinks he'd be a first round pick. What do you think about that?
I've heard that. It's just because I don't think he necessarily likes baseball more than football. It's just, you know, $5 million, I think, is what he has guaranteed. I don't think he'd be a fantastic NFL quarterback, so I think there's definitely baseball is a safer bet. But if he likes football more, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to not say don't do what you like more. But for someone who just, you know, watches baseball and watches football and doesn't play either of them, I mean, to me, it just seems that baseball would be the better option. I mean, you've got a longer season and the travel's got to be more exhausting, but you don't get hit. The average player makes more money. Your career's longer as a baseball player. You know, you don't have all that scary CT stuff going on. I mean, you could get hit with a baseball, but not nearly quite like football is. So, I mean, to me, you know, not really experiencing either of those, baseball seems like a much better option.
Yeah. And with, baseball, what was I going to say? But with baseball, he's like, I think he's a better prospect because football is like a 5'11 quarterback right now is projected like to be a mid round draft pick if he goes, and baseball, uh-huh. He's a top 10 pick, and it wasn't just because he's a baseball star. He's like a legit top 10 baseball pick.
Right. I wish that I knew more about baseball and could comment on his baseball statistics, but I'm sure they're good.
No, it's incredible because I read this really cool article and watched some of his baseball film. He is like – he hits like a power hitter, but he like has like – like he steals a lot of bases. So he like
– he doesn't look like a power hitter.
Huh?
He doesn't look like a power hitter.
Yeah, he like doesn't, but he like hits a ton of home runs or like has a really high slugging percentage, but it also is like has really good defensive stats because he's so fast and like he has a really high batting average. So he has the slugging and the batting average, which, you know, usually if you like have a high slugging percentage, you like you're gonna strike out a lot, but he can do both really well and he fields well. So yeah, I think he's gonna be a good baseball player from the little.
Sounds like all of the good things you would want in a baseball player.
He does like everything well, and there's some stuff he needs to fix. Like he doesn't have a ton of arm power, and that's because he throws kind of like a quarterback. But if he's playing baseball full time, it's kind of easy to switch that mechanics over. So
yeah.
A lot of the stuff that he doesn't do as well, it's like the scouts think it's easy. It'll be easy to fix, but it's just because he's playing football.
Yeah, is he infield or outfield?
Outfield.
Okay, that makes sense with the throwing power and the quarterback and that sort of thing. Now, here's another baseball question for you because you follow this more than me. Yeah. When is free agency? Because what I am curious about and what does interest me is where Bryce Harper is going to go.
The winter meetings are starting right now. So
yeah.
I think he could technically sign right now. It's just, you know, he's waiting because, like, the Nationals offered him, but their GM said, we retracted our offer. That was our max offer. So it looks like pretty much for sure he's not going to re-sign with Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that he might go to the Phillies.
Yeah, I think the Phillies, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Giants are the big teams in contention for him.
Yeah. I don't want him to go to the Dodgers or the Yankees.
I honestly think a Philly I could see him end up in. We'll see. But I think Philadelphia is, I think, the best shot. Even though they're not, like, the favorite, like, over 50%, I think they're, like, the leaders, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. I'll totally take that. Yeah, Philly is, you know, I like, you know, just, like, I'm such a big Eagles fan, and I'm, like, a huge Rocky fan. So if I wasn't going to cheer for the Giants, I'd cheer for the Phillies. So if he's not going to go to the Giants, then that's where I'd like him to go.
Yeah. I think the Angels are another team. Like, if they got Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and what's that? Oh,
Otani?
Yeah, that kid. That'd be a star-studded team for sure. But I bet he ends up in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. The thing about the Angels is I know they've got those two guys who are, like, two of the five best players in baseball or whatever, but I've never even seen a commercial for an Angels game.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's part of the problem with baseball that, you know, we're not the first people to talk about this, but because, like, Mike Trout's the best player, like, I even saw him, because he's from New Jersey, so he's at a Philadelphia Eagles game, and Carson Wentz scored a touchdown and, like, ran and gave the ball. I was like, oh, that's nice, he gave it to some random fan.
Yeah.
Mike Trout. I can't even recognize it. Like, Bryce Harper is super recognizable. But other than that, there aren't a lot of recognizable baseball players. Where, like, with basketball, I think the average fan would recognize at least 20 or so players, if not more.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and, like, because we've talked about that on the podcast before, too, is just I don't think the Angels are very good. Like, I'm trying to look up their record right now, but they didn't make the playoffs last year, you know? Well,
Mike Trout has made he made the playoffs one time, and he got swept by Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's never won a playoff game.
So, like, yeah, I think he needs to be a free agent or get traded or something, because I just think he deserves to be on a team where he can go to the playoffs and people can watch him play. Because I think that, you know, is probably the problem more than him not wanting to be marketed. Because Kawhi doesn't want to be marketed either, but he's won championships and stuff, and so people know who he is. I think if people can, you know, see him in the playoffs when, you know, the average fan like me actually watches baseball, then I think he ends up becoming the star that, you know, he probably deserves to be.
Yeah, well, because Mike Trout's team sucks, but he's in L.A., like, you can't get a bigger market. Like, I know he's the second best team in L.A., but
that's the thing. It's like nobody in L.A. is an Angels fan. Everybody's a Dodgers fan.
Oh, no, it's still like you're – like, even if you're the second team in L.A., that's better than, like, at least two-thirds of every other market in the league.
I mean, I guess, but, like, you know, I hear about the Rams every week, and nobody ever talks about the Chargers, and I know that the Chargers aren't as good as the Rams – but they're gonna make the playoffs. They're gonna be a wild card team. Nobody ever talks about the Clippers. You know, everybody, like, ESPN talked way more about the Lakers than they ever did about the Clippers, even when the Clippers was Lob City with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and everything, just because people took them as, like, kind of the joke team. Yeah, and Angels are the joke team.
Well, in New York, like, the Mets are, they're not the Yankees, but they still get a lot of publicity. I think that it's a little different than the Angels. I think if the Angels were better, it could be closer to, like, a Mets situation.
It's true. I think New York is different, though, because there seem to be, you know, the city seems to be divided up into different parts. Like, there seems to be, you know, sections of New York that cheer for the Mets or, you know, the Nets or the Jets. They've got too many rhyming teams now that I say that, you know? But, like, L.A., like, I don't know what side of L.A. cheers for what team. It just feels like everybody in L.A. cheers for the Lakers, except for the people who want to be different, and then those people cheer for the Clippers.
Yeah, it is different. Yeah, because really, like, L.A., it's not as broken up as New York is, even though there's obviously different neighborhoods and cities and stuff that are different, but, like, fandom-wise, it's more mixed up, I guess.
Yeah. And, like, football's even weirder because the Rams came – didn't the Rams come a year before the Chargers, or was it the same year?
A year before the Chargers. So they had one year before the Chargers.
So, like, everybody – like, who – like, who's – like, if I'm living in L.A., it's not like, the Rams and the Chargers are coming. I'm going to wait a year, and then I'm going to cheer for the Chargers, you know? Like, who's supposed to cheer for them?
Well, the thing is, the Chargers are the third most popular team in L.A. at best, because the Raiders, I think, are still the most popular team in L.A.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be – and that's, you know, a fairly close drive for them. So I bet a lot of people end up, you know, going to those Raiders games now they're going to be in – well, I mean, I guess they could drive to Oakland, too, and stuff. But
yeah, I think Vegas is a little bit closer, but – yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting, like, that whole Raiders stadium, like, how that plays out as far as, like, what percentage of people are Raiders fan versus, like, because if you get, like, going to one NFL game a year and your team's playing in Las Vegas, a lot of people are going to pick that as, like, the away game to go to.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. They're not going to be a lot of games that feel like home games for the Raiders. Yeah,
seriously. Well, we did not plan to talk about baseball that long.
No, we did not. That's good. So we do talk about you baseball fans.
Yeah, so it's been 20 minutes, and we've talked about hockey and baseball and soccer.
Yeah, so let's get shall we get to the NBA?
Let's talk about basketball. Yeah, what do you want to talk about first? I think we want to talk about Kyle Lowry and Markelle Fultz mostly, plus, you know, just general Western Conference stuff. But or you want to talk about Houston first?
I don't, to be honest, I'm most interested in the Bulls right now. That's what I've had the most fun with this week.
Let's talk about the Bulls. Mads, what's happening in Chicago? We talked to last week about the coaching carousel, how Fred Hoiberg is out.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's just a dumpster fire, and I love it. Because, and so we remember Jim Boylan. he was a coach at the University of Utah, and you, you know, probably know about his shenanigans at the U more than I do. But I believe it was Chris Haynes. I'm going to look that up. But he had a really interesting article about the Bulls today and how Boylan, he wanted to do a 2-hour or he wanted to do like a 3-hour practice the day after a back-to-back, which I don't know if it's officially in the collective bargaining agreement, but it's definitely like a big no-no. And so the players decided that they were just not going to go. And then, you know, some of the players, you know, told Boylan about it. And so then Boylan got mad, and then they decided, okay, we are going to come, but we're going to have only a players only meeting. And then we're going to have a meeting with the coach. And what's crazy about this is we talked about how much the players did not respect Fred Hoiberg, and it's probably even worse with Jim Boylan.
Yeah, like one of the players said to Boylan when he was talking about, you know, like running him and stuff like that, he was saying they used to do that in San Antonio, and the player was like, you're not Greg Popovich and we're not the Spurs. Right. Like, I can't imagine saying that to a coach.
I know, that's great. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, well, and the other thing is that, and it was Chris Haynes and Vincent Goodwill who wrote that article for Yahoo Sports. But yeah, and like it talked about how he was the assistant coach or kind of the associate head coach under Fred Hoiberg, and how he had kind of run the practices and how he was the bad cop to Fred Hoiberg's good cop. So I feel like this was a bad choice because it sounds like the players didn't like him before they hired him. And they just, like, brought in a guy to be the interim head coach who the players liked less than Fred Hoiberg.
And he's just not a good coach. Like, I don't see what they're doing. Like, I don't see why everyone but the GM loses their job in Chicago all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, we talk about the biggest messes in the NBA. You know, we talk about the Kings a lot. But the Bulls, you know, the last few years have just been a disaster.
Yeah, they've been a mess. I don't know. Remind me, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson before we end the show. I just thought of that.
Okay, yep.
But yeah, no, the Bulls are a mess. They my favorite part, more than the like Spurs comment, they literally complained to the like Players Association.
Like, right, because what I was talking about with the collective bargaining agreement or whatever they've got there is because like nobody does it. I mean, you know, Quinn Snyder doesn't do this, and people are complaining about his practices and stuff, but that's something that, you know, like, he wouldn't even do.
Yeah. So, it is funny what's going on in Chicago. Another NBA drama that I want to talk about was Kyle Lowry. He had so the point guard for the Toronto Raptors, he had an interview with Rachel Nichols from ESPN. And it was really cool. It was like, just, he was really honest. He was talking about the DeMar DeRozan trade, and a quote from that, Kyle Lowry said, Nichols asked him like how he felt after the DeMar DeRozan trade, and Kyle said, I felt betrayed because he felt betrayed because that's my guy, that's my best friend. So yeah, I felt some type of way on a personal side. It's a harsh business, it's a great business, but sometimes moves are made that you're like, wow, that sucks, it's very complicated. And then he later went on, he was asked about his relationship with Masai Ujiri, the general manager. And Kyle Lowry just said, he's the boss. I play basketball. Like, that's like it. He was like open about, like, they clearly seem to not be getting along fantastically.
Right. Yeah, no, I kind of feel bad for Kyle Lowry because I feel like, you know, he and DeMar had something that was really good. It was probably, you know, the best thing that Toronto had ever had. I know that they couldn't get over the hump with LeBron, but LeBron was gone. So, you know, I bet they were probably looking at the East and being like, we can win the East now. And so now it's weird. And like, if I'm Kyle Lowry, I don't feel very comfortable because they've talked about trading him a lot. He's someone who could get traded, you know, probably not this season, but possibly next season. You know, and Kawhi Leonard, people were afraid that he doesn't even sign back. If Kawhi Leonard doesn't even sign back, he's got one more year that he's got to play with the Raptors who, you know, if Kawhi Leonard just leaves, they're not going to be very good. And then he becomes a free agent the next year, but then he's going to be 34. And if I'm a general manager, I'm looking at Kyle Lowry at 34, and I'm looking at Chris Paul and the contract that he just signed, and, you know, Kyle Lowry at 34 is not somebody that I want to give a lot of money to.
No, especially if Kawhi Leonard leaves. I think Lowry's probably out of Toronto, especially if they don't at least win the East and Kawhi Leonard leaves. Kyle Lowry's gone too, I think. I think they hit rebuild.
Yeah, so that's going to be, yeah. And it is, you know, what I thought was interesting about that is just, you know, how they talk about how, you know, it's a business and they understand that. I do think they understand this, but it is, you know, weird, you know, how if DeMar DeRozan would have left, all the fans would have been so mad. They would have thought that he was a traitor. And, you know, all this stuff. And then when they traded him for Kawhi, all the fans were like, oh, this is probably a good thing, you know, and just no regard for everything that DeMar had done. They didn't feel like they had betrayed DeMar at all. And so it is, you know, we hear about the players talking about, you know, how the fans don't really have any loyalty to them. They just have loyalty to their teams. And in a sense, that's true. You know, I'm going to be loyal to the Jazz, you know, pretty much regardless of whoever plays on the team. But it is kind of crazy just looking at these situations and how much the fans just don't seem to care about the players that we talk about caring about so much.
Yeah. And one thing, this will kind of segue into something you want to talk about, Matt, is I think the Raptors, they could, because they're so deep, they could be a team that might make a move like come the trade deadline. The interesting thing about that, though, is other than Phoenix, pretty much everyone in the West is so close that it's going to be hard or interesting for teams to decide, do we think we want to make a push for the playoffs? Like, because even, like, the team in 14th place has a shot. Or do they say, like, you know what, let's just, we're not winning the championship because of Golden State. So I think it's going to be an interesting trade market, especially in the West, because other than Phoenix, I think there's not really a whole lot of teams in the West that are going to want to trade and, like, get rid of their players.
Yeah, and I mean, even like with Phoenix, you know, who does Phoenix have that you want to get? Because they're not going to trade Devin Booker. They're not going to trade DeAndre Ayton. I mean, maybe Josh Jackson, but I don't think he's going to solve your problems.
Oh, yeah, I think Josh Jackson, I think Trevor Ariza is probably the most for sure guy to get traded in the league, I bet. But yeah, yeah. It's a week or two until December 15th when people sign free agent deals can be traded.
Yeah. So, no, I think you're right. I think if you're looking at getting a player who's going to upgrade your team, you're probably looking at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. You probably don't have a whole lot of choices. You know, you're probably looking at getting someone from the Wizards. And if you're the Raptors, that's probably Bradley Beal or Otto Porter or Kevin Love. And that, you know, that might be it. You know, there's not a lot of, there's a lot of contracts that are going to end at the end of this year. Like you said, the West is really crammed, so not a lot of teams are going to want to give up players there. So yeah, just a weird, this is the weirdest NBA season that I remember.
No, it honestly is. Like, except for Phoenix, everyone is so close in the West. It's like unreal.
Yeah.
Like, the Rockets are 6 games back of first, and they're 14th.
Right. Like, how do you see the Western Conference shaking out? Because, like, some of this, you know, seems like it has to be, you know, just kind of fluky, like, weird beginning of the season stuff. But, like, I don't really see the Clippers dropping out of the playoffs. I mean, they would have to totally implode, you know. The Kings, I think, are going to drop down. The Mavericks are probably going to drop down. But, like, the Grizzlies are probably going to stay up there.
See, I think Dallas, like, my boy Luka Doncic has been killing it. I think Dallas has a shot to stay in. I think the problem is everybody, I think the Kings, they're not in the playoff picture, but I still don't think they're legit, despite De'Aaron Fox is having an incredible second year. I really think, you know, the only teams not in the playoff picture that have a shot are the Jazz, and I just have to think Houston's going to put it together. And they're in 13th and 14th, you know?
Right, yeah, no, it's crazy. But, like, I mean, like, the Pelicans, you know, they've been playing pretty good. They could get back up there. You know, the Spurs, you know, you're never going to count Greg Popovich out of it. So I don't have any idea. Like, I feel like the Warriors, The Thunder and the Nuggets are, you know, for sure going to make the playoffs, and that's it. Everybody else, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Thunder at two is, like, I don't know if they'll stay there the whole time, but I think they're legit too. I think Denver, you know, they're going to be a top four team. Other than that, I don't know if the Lakers are going to stay at five. They're another team that they sounds like they want to get Trevor Ariza, so they could make some moves, but I don't think they stay at five even if they do make the playoffs. I just think there's, like, the East is, like, that's how it is. That's how it's going to be. In the West is, like, no clue what's going on.
Right. Who do you like coming out of the East? Because I think that top of the Eastern Conference is really interesting. I still think the West is a better conference, even though the East is more top-heavy right now, or at least the teams at the top I feel like we know are good, whereas we're not totally sure what we have with the top of the West with, like, the Clippers and the Nuggets. Like, we know they're good, but not how good.
Yeah, I think I want to say Toronto, especially if they get one more guy like a Trevor Ariza, or not a J.R. Smith, but, like, someone like that, you know. J.R. Smith hopefully doesn't go to Toronto. I still think Boston. Like, I think they're too talented. Like, they're only in fifth place, but they're also 4.5 games back of first, 2 games back of second. Like, I think Boston's going to be fine. I think those still have to be the favorites. I think Philadelphia can't shoot. I think they have, like, what?
Did you? No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, sorry. I thought you made, like, a whoom sound. Like, huh?
Oh, no.
Yeah, but Philadelphia can't shoot, and, like, Jimmy Butler can. But we were looking at their stats, and they have, like, they're 19-9, but they have the scoring differential of, like, a 500 team. That's just because Jimmy Butler's hit, like, some ridiculous shots to win games, which is why they got him. But, like, that's not consistent, you know. Milwaukee, as good as they are, I think it's going to be a problem where your second best player, as underrated as Chris Middleton is Chris Middleton, where, like, Boston, their second best player is Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think Boston and Toronto are still the favorites, and then, like, a cut above everybody else. And then Milwaukee, Philly, and Indiana. I'm still nervous about putting Indiana in that tier, but they're, like, borderline second tier, I think, in the East.
Yeah, I don't think Indiana's quite up there, even though they're ahead of the Celtics. I agree with you. The Celtics, I think, are going to be better. I don't think they'll be the one seed, but I think they'll be a top four seed. If I was ranking the teams, as far as I think coming out of the East, I'd probably have the Raptors at one. I know they typically blow it in the playoffs, but Kawhi Leonard, I think, you know, has kind of been there, done that. I think that's going to help them a lot. I'm going to put the Bucks ahead of the Celtics, actually, at number two, just because of that playoff series last year. I feel like the Celtics are way better this year than they were last year. And last year, they took the Celtics to 7 games. So I think this year, they can get a game on the road. I think Giannis has been playing a lot better. You know, and I want Chris Middleton to be good and kind of prove that he's sort of an all-star or superstar. Because that's who I think the Jazz are going to target next year in free agency. So I'm going Raptors, Bucks, Celtics, and then Sixers I'm going to put fourth, but for the reasons that you just explained, I think they're kind of a tier or half a tier below those other three teams.
So do you think that Milwaukee would beat Boston in the playoffs, or will be Boston in the playoffs if they play?
I mean, right now, yeah. I mean, it depends a little bit with how much Gordon Hayward plays himself back into shape. But yeah, I mean, if I was picking today, I would pick the Bucks.
Interesting. I don't think that's a bad pick. I think we're nitpicking at this point, honestly, between especially Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee. Nitpicking for sure.
You know, it's a crapshoot. You know, somebody will have broken their ankle by the time we get to the playoffs anyway, you know, so.
Well, Matt, we got about 5 or 10 minutes or so. Let's talk a minute of Markelle Fultz and then some NFL stuff real quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird, right?
Markelle Fultz?
Yeah.
I think the weirdest thing of the whole story is that it's gotten out that he went to 10 different doctors over the summer. And, like, finally the one, like, a week or two ago diagnosed him with thoracic outlet syndrome.
thoracic, I think.
Thoracic outlet syndrome.
Go Google it.
And none of the first 10 people could figure it out. And I was listening to like a medical podcast, not like a medical podcast, but like sports medicine people were talking. And they were saying that that's what doctors diagnose baseball pitchers with when there's pain, but they don't know from what.
Yeah.
And I guess if that's the diagnosis, it makes sense that the first 10 people couldn't find anything. But I think he's done in Philadelphia. I don't think he's going to play again for them, which is bad for Philadelphia because he's at his all-time low trade value.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that situation is weird. So, yeah, I did. It looks like thoracic. It's T-O-H-O-R-A-C. So I'm not sure how we're doing that, how we're pronouncing that C or that first C. But did you know that's what Nick Emery has for BYU?
Did the boosters, could they not pay for like a prescription drugs for him?
Or? I guess, yeah. well, basically, and the way that I understood it is that the blood doesn't flow as quickly or it has trouble getting to the appendages, to the arms and the legs. So like this player from BYU, Nick Emery, he plays with like a long sleeve Under Armour type of a shirt and then tights underneath his shorts just because he has trouble with that circulation and he gets cold. And so the reason I think it's weird is I don't understand how that's affecting Markel Fultz's shot. Like I see how, you know, there's something going on with his shoulder and how that could be a little bit connected to it, but the shoulder I think would have to develop first. So if it's not the shoulder, I don't see why this is hurting his shot. I feel like it's got to be mental at this point, which is crazy because, well, everything with Markel Fultz is a mystery to me. I never saw Washington play a single game. Didn't they only win like 9 games with Markel Fultz? Like they weren't very good.
Yeah, they went 9-20, didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, so this whole thing, I feel like Markel Fultz just as a person is being kept as a secret from me. And I'm told that he is good or was good at one point, but I'm not allowed to see it. And so I just don't really know what to do.
Can I just say one thing on Luka Doncic while we're talking about this, and then we can go back to the Fultz injury?
Yeah, sure.
So Markel Fultz played for a 9-20 Washington team. Ben Simmons played for a crappy LSU team. DeAndre Ayton got dominated by Buffalo in the NCAA tournament, but Luka Doncic, the teenage MVP of the second best league in the world, couldn't be the number one pick because he played in Europe. Like, that makes me so mad. Like, why?
Right.
I don't get it.
It's stupid. Well, like, if you watch the Olympics in Rio, you know, a lot of those games were really, really close, and it wasn't because our team was bad. It's just that everybody else is so much better. So not only is the European League way better than it was 10 years ago, but he's playing against like 30-year-olds, and that's different than Ben Simmons and Markel Fultz playing against the 18-year-olds who play for Washington State.
Yeah, like Ben Simmons didn't make the NCAA tournament playing like Georgia and Mississippi State and stuff like that. And Luka Doncic won the league. And, yeah, they're like physical 30-year-olds. The European League is way more physical than the NBA. And Doncic, as a 19-year-old, just dominated the thing.
Yeah. Well, because, like, EuroLeague, I mean, that's a better league than the NCAA, particularly with this one-and-done system, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people were saying a couple weeks ago, like, would Duke beat Cleveland? Duke wouldn't beat Real Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here, really quick, while we're on this, I typically don't buy those sorts of arguments. I do think that year that Kentucky almost went undefeated, they would have beat the 76ers because the 76ers were so bad. Brandon Davies was getting a ton of playing time for them, and I love Brandon Davies, but there's no way that Brandon Davies is better than Karl Anthony Towns, even when Karl Anthony Towns was 19.
Yeah, that Sixers team wasn't an NBA team.
Yeah, like that one is kind of the one exception to that. But you're right. I don't think, you know, that any NCAA team right now would be able to go over and win EuroLeague. I think they'd maybe get out of the first round or whatever, but they definitely wouldn't be able to win it.
Yeah, I think, like, yeah, obviously, like, in a one game, they could win, but they wouldn't dominate. Like, people say, like, an MLS team wouldn't beat a Premier League team. Like, if Atlanta United was in the Premier League, they wouldn't get shut out every single game. Like, they'd get points. They just would be crappy in the league. You know what I mean? They'd get relegated, yeah. But...
Yeah, they would be relegated, but they would be... You know, they'd go out and maybe beat Chelsea once, and then they'd beat Leicester, and then they would, you know, tie Southampton and stuff.
Point being, Luka Doncic should have been number one pick.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. Do you have? Can you figure out this Markelle Fultz thing? Or
no, I think it has to be in his head, because, like, I watched him a little bit at Washington, and, like, he was good, but I still thought Jason Tatum should have been picked ahead of him. Yeah. Lonzo Ball, questionably. Yeah, Lonzo Ball was in the same conference in college and was the second pick.
Right. Yeah, I mean, to me, like, if this Markelle Fultz thing, like, if he never plays again, or if he plays again and he just never gets a shot figured out, like, that's probably the most it's probably more disappointing than Anthony Davis Anthony Bennett. From Cleveland. Like, you know, you look at, like, Greg Oden, but that's, you know, I don't really look at that the same, because he was injured. It's not like he just couldn't play as well as people thought he was going to be able to be, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to be a bust, like, just because he was – same with Brandon Roy. I know he wasn't the number one pick, but I feel like Portland's gotten really unlucky with injuries with some
– Yeah. Dude, yeah, this – the 30 for 30, I think they're going to need to do, like, a – maybe, like, a two-part thing on the Sixers. Like, one, just the Sixers when they were just absolutely awful and not actually an NBA team. And then the second part is going to be how they redshirted, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and this whole thing that's going on with Markelle Fultz and the way that this ends up, because that is going to be a really interesting story when we figure out all the details.
Yeah, I think one trade, I don't know how likely it is, but that I would love to see is some sort of Beal for Fold swap. Like, obviously Philly would have to give up more than that to get Bradley Beal, but that would mean Philadelphia would have Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. That'd be a pretty good, like, top four players. And whatever they send back to Philadelphia or to DC, that's where Markelle Fultz is from. He's from Maryland. Like, we talked about how Washington DC is like, high school basketball is like Dallas, Texas is high school football.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be cool to see. I think he needs a fresh start somewhere, and, like, Washington's trying to rebuild. They could take a flyer on him. Like, I don't even know if he's, like, the centerpiece of the trade package, but I think DC would be a cool place to see Markelle Fultz go, because hopefully he can, like, at least be competent, you know, not like what he is now, which is the laughing stock of the league.
I don't know, man. See, the problem with that is, and I mean, maybe this would be okay because there'd be less pressure. I just think the Wizards are going to be bad for a long time. I mean, you're paying John Wall a ton of money for just a really, really long time. And I just feel like it's going to be hard to build a good roster paying one player that much money unless that player's LeBron James.
Oh, well, yeah, the Wizards are screwed for sure. Like, they're not going to do good with Markelle Fultz. That's why they can get, like, Fultz and, like, because he was the number one pick. So, like, the hope that he'll, like, regain some of his form plus some draft picks and another player from Philadelphia for Bradley Beal, that help, you know what I mean?
I guess. I mean, Philly, I feel like, would have to give up, you know, some really enticing picks and a couple of really good players, I think, to make that happen.
And I don't even think Philly's in the market for Bradley Beal, but I think if they got Bradley Beal, it depends on what the trade is, like, what they have to give up, but I would be really interested to see, like, how they do in those Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah. See, I'd like to see Bradley Beal on Toronto. I think, you know, him next to Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard, I think, would be really interesting.
Because Toronto definitely has pieces for that.
Right.
And then they owe their first round pick to San Antonio this year because of the Kawhi trade, but they could, give up another one.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're going all in, and if you're going to go all in, then, I mean, you should do it.
Especially with Kawhi, you don't know if he's coming back or not.
Right.
That'd be really
good. I'm going to feel so bad for Toronto if Kawhi leaves. I mean, that would just be such a terrible thing to happen.
I know. But I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It'd be funny if he went to the Clippers, like not even the Lakers, but
just goes to that would kind of suck. Yeah, which goes back to our point earlier about there's always one team in LA that's the joke team.
Yeah. Well, on that note, the football comment I want to make is I watched Lamar Jackson, like the Chiefs game against the Ravens, and I was really impressed with his throwing. That was the first like NFL action I'd seen it. Like he's been starting a little bit for Baltimore. I was really impressed because coming out of college, I like really was vocal about I don't think he throws well. He like he's not accurate. Don't like his mechanics. He played really well in that game against Kansas City.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he seems, you know, like a pretty good dude. Donovan Mitchell likes him a lot because they both went to Louisville. So I'd like to see him, you know, do well if for those reasons and nothing else.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Matt, any closing comments? We can do NFL more next week. We didn't cover it as much as we wanted to.
Yeah, we are kind of took up our NFL time with baseball stuff.
Yeah.
Just that the Eagles are probably out of the playoffs because of bad calls and a weird bounce in overtime. And that makes me sad. And that's all.
That Dallas game was stupid.
Yeah. It was weird. Also, like, we are so deep in with corners. Like, and when I say deep, I mean we're in like way too far into our depth chart to the point where it's a problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Same thing I talked about with Atlanta. Like the way to be bad in the NFL is to have multiple injuries at the same position, like Philadelphia in the corners or Atlanta in the safety position. Like it's just because of the salary cap, you get the roster spots, there's, you know, you can't really be deep at any position. So
yeah.
You got two injuries to the same spot, and Philadelphia has like four cornerbacks injured or something like that. It's impossible.
Yeah. We still got our Super Bowl, though.
You got it. That's all that matters. Cool. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Really appreciate all the support. Everybody's reached out, said they like the show. Shout out to everybody who we were on their most played podcast on Spotify. Really appreciate all the text messages I got from y'all. We're also on Apple, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and Audioboom. Double Take with Matt and Jake. Subscribe, rate, review, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe. Really appreciate all that. And then we'll talk to you guys next week.